So we're come to the point, Urs, where we're going to discuss this week that just happened, which is now the second week of 2024, about kind of what's been happening in the markets, some big changes economically, what information came out, and then what we're expecting next week. We hope that, as we've discussed, that these discussions can help our listeners to gain kind of a to stay current and also gain a picture of what they might be looking for ahead, and also gain the Swiss perspective of things that are happening in the global economy, as well maybe some things that they haven't heard about or aren't up to date on. As we were discussing today, obviously the big thing that came out this week is Bitcoin. Other information that was released in the beginning of January is job markets in the States. So maybe we can start with Bitcoin and what's happened there.
Yeah, sure. Bitcoin had a little bit of an up and then a down this week. So the decision from the SEC was being awaited from the investors for a long time already, whether the SEC will approve ETFs or Bitcoin ETFs. And so eventually this week, the decision came out and they approved it. But the interesting thing is, like, one day before this decision came out, that the SEC's X account, like previously Twitter, was hacked. And so there was already an announcement that it is approved, which sent the Bitcoin up. And after it came out, it was a kind of a scam or a hack. It came down even further. And then one day later, when it finally was approved, the Bitcoin didn't do that much, which was really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think that's what I found interesting about the whole situation is not the speculative nature, but a bit of the speculative nature of where, you know, the announcement comes out the day before and the market reacts because it was unexpected. And even though everyone was kind of expecting it to be approved and that it would come out, you know, the companies putting them out had all been arranging themselves, obviously, before the announcement to be ready for when the announcement came. It is interesting to see how speculation drove Bitcoin. But after its announcement, we've actually seen Bitcoin take a little bit of a tumble.
Yeah, I mean, what you said, the expectations is also an interesting point to make because, yeah, it was expected that the SEC eventually or finally will allow this kind of investment vehicles because rather big company that was offering kind of a Bitcoin ETF trust structure tried already to get approval from the SEC in the past. The SEC denied, and then they went in front of court. And this is how they got the ball rolling, really. And which was also like the expectations, or what led to the expectations that they will eventually allow it. And yeah, I think it also nicely shows how much markets are driven by expectations, by hope and fear, by disappointments, by things that develop just in another direction maybe than you would have expected. So I mean, there is a saying out there, buy the rumors, sell the facts, and that's obviously what happened here.
Yeah, I think that's a I guess it's always interesting to me to see how people react to different things. And obviously Bitcoin has been the rage for quite some time. And we've seen it go up to crazy highs of near $60,000 per Bitcoin, and then within a year or two back to $15,000. It's just crazy volatility. And you know, outside of the fact whether you believe in Bitcoin or you know look at it as an alternative, you know, as a decentralized cryptocurrency, it is interesting to see, as you mentioned, that whole behavioral finance that's involved in something that's regulated or not regulated. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, and to be fair, I mean, it came back after the announcement, but in the last couple of months, it really accelerated and went from this $15,000-$17,000 Bitcoin up to 45, where it currently more or less stays. So it has done quite a good job.
And I think that's what's interesting is just that anticipation, like watching that anticipation build up over time. It's been really, really interesting to see and to see where it'll go, because we also have a halving coming. I think they're expecting the halving in April this year.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it develops to that point, you know, especially as the ETF tracking Bitcoin.
Yes. And also what kind of expectations are coming up now after the announcement? I mean, Katie Woods, Wood, a very successful, I would say, even ETF manager. She now claims that the Bitcoin will stay at 1.5 million in 2030, which, yeah, maybe it happens, maybe not. But it's the craziest thing to forecast, because, I mean, there are not really any basics that you can point on and say, okay, because of that and that reason, obviously the demand will be higher. But I mean, 1.5 million, that would be quite a bit of upwards potential.
Yeah, I mean, you already see the upward potential that Bitcoin has had since people have started tracking. And I think if you go online, you can look at Bitcoin and it goes back to 2015, even though Bitcoin was even before that. So it is interesting to see, you know, the development of that and the percentage gain that they are up, you know, over the past 10 years, well, 8 years, 9 years. It is incredibly substantial. So is it outside of the realm of possibility? Don't know, but it'd be interesting to see where she gets that valuation, or if she just plucks that valuation out of the sky and said it. It'd be very interesting to see. I think also something that was quite interesting, looking at the numbers, now kind of shifting more to the U.S. economy and the numbers coming out of it, looking at the employment rate, you know, there's been a lot of positive numbers, as in jobs created, that just came out in the past 2 weeks, and seem to be creating more jobs than was expected. How do you see that? Or what did you see in these numbers? Do you see any good signs or things that you're curious about?
I mean, the unemployment rate and the jobs created is definitely something the Fed, like the U.S. Central Bank, has an eye on. And so it is an important number to follow. But you always have to be a little bit careful with this kind of announcements. I mean, yes, the jobs created went up, but if you look at different or other indicators, for example, the average hours worked, like the productivity, it went down a little bit. So there is some kind of counter movement, and not everything speaks towards a great economy. But if you're focusing on this specific number, then the question comes up, okay, is it still justified to expect like central banks to decrease interest rates as early as March this year, which I don't think is going to happen if the economy is as strong as many investors and even government's representatives claim it is.
Yeah, and I think that was interesting, again, kind of diving into those numbers and other numbers, but specifically when you get into the new jobs created and you look at, I think it was about 50% of the new jobs created in 2023 were either government jobs or healthcare, the healthcare sector, which is highly subsidized by the U.S. government.
Yes.
So was it artificial growth or encouraged growth by the government, or was the whole economy growing? And that's something that I think is hard. It's, as you mentioned, you buy the expectations and sell the facts. You know, when you're talking about your economy, and you have good job numbers, like, hey, look at these great job numbers. But the government is telling you that they created jobs. Is that the private sector? Are the other sectors of the economy doing well? What are they wrestling with?
Yeah, but I think that's an interesting point you raised about where the jobs are created. I mean, if you're in like the public sector, like the government sector, like private or government sector, I mean, it's something totally different. And I don't say it is not justifiable that the government is like pushing some industries to get more jobs up, which I think is very important, so that you give the people who actually want to work, give possibility to get work and to get a salary where they can cover the cost, especially in an environment of higher inflation. Because even though inflation was coming down, is coming down, it's still quite a bit higher than it used to be. Also, just this week, the US reported a core inflation, which excludes energy and food. Not that people in the US don't consume energy and food, but the argumentation is that it is more stable, and the expectation was that this figure is also declining, but actually it was a little bit increasing again, which brought up a little bit of fear again, whether, okay, how sustainable is the normalization of inflation, or will there be another uptick as we have seen in the past in the 80s?
Yeah, that's very interesting to see, and how the Fed will react and what the expectation of economists will be and market players will be in the coming, as we approach the next Fed decision and central bank decisions in general.
Yeah.
You know, what is that going to look like? Mm. So looking forward to next week, what are we expecting to see next week? What are some numbers we're looking for? What are some important things happening that our listeners can be aware of and keep their eyes out for?
Yeah, so next week we are having a couple of announcements that will be interesting also from the European side. So Germany, for example, they will public their annual GDP for 2023. They have had some difficult quarters. They are technically and realistically, I would even say, in a recession. And it doesn't look too good for them. So it will be interesting what the overall like annually calculated GDP numbers will be. And then we will get quite a couple of figures from China. Will it be like the retail consumption or the industry productivity? So there will be some figures which will tell us how the world is doing as well, because China still is the second largest economy in the world and is also exporting quite a bit. And so I think these two are the most important figures that are coming out from what I'm currently seeing. I mean, there are a handful or many, many more announcements that are being made, but I think like Germany as the biggest economy in Europe and China as the second biggest economy globally will give us quite an indication how the world is doing.
Germany for me is especially interesting to see how bad it was for them last year. I mean, obviously as a neighbor, we've seen them have some serious challenges, but to see that figure will be quite interesting to see what's their plan to recover? What's their path out of that, or will it be another prolonged year of struggles? You know, there's still a lot of things affecting their economy that, as far as unrest happening, that's really putting them in a difficult position. And seeing how they play it out, especially with all the elections coming this year in Europe and around the world, and how that all plays into economies working with each other and back and forth, and how companies navigate that can show some interesting signs.
Yeah, this brings me also up to two further points, China in particular. This Saturday, tomorrow, there will be the presidential election in Taiwan, which will be very interesting to follow. The Chinese government has a huge interest of who becomes the new president, whether it will be China-friendly or more moving towards more independence of Taiwan. That will have quite an impact. And then what I just remembered is that the Fed also will give out an update on their balance sheet, which will also be interesting, whether they are starting to expand their balance sheet again, or were further like reducing the sum, or what is going on this side.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. And next week when we sit down, hopefully we'll be able to share what those numbers are and keep the listeners up to date and what we've seen in those developments as we roll on.